Thanks for joining us. This is Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani. We're doing a pre-budget show. Joining with me in the studio is Tan Hui Beng, the international tax leader at Deloitte Malaysia as well as Southeast Asia. Hui Beng, we have just received your Tax Espresso Special Edition, talking about the talking about some of the tax expectations. Let's run through with us some of the top line expectations following the budget presentation that's going to take place just a few days from now.
Thanks, Ibrahim, for having me. I think this budget is going to be unveiled on 7 October 2023, which is slightly earlier than expected. And this is going to be a very difficult budget to present because it's against our very tight fiscal constraint at the moment. So we know there are many headwinds, recession fears, inflation, interest rate hikes, you know, the US-China relationship, war in Ukraine. So all these will impact Malaysia because Malaysia is an open economy. We do export a lot. So this is going to be, it has to be factored into our budget. So now the key question here is, Malaysia has been on a fiscal deficit since 1998. That's a huge thing, right? So we need to realize that we need to rebuild to have an adequate fiscal buffer. So the question here is really, we have been depending on oil revenue and the Malaysian tax base is rather narrow. At some point, a few years ago, we have GST, which was great, but it was short-lived, you know? So now the question is, what do we do with the corporate tax? Are we going to introduce GST? I think these are some of the major questions that need to be addressed, right? At the moment, Malaysia's corporate tax rate is 24%. It's rather high vis-a-vis rates in the neighbouring country. So the question is whether we have an opportunity to bring that down so to attract more foreign direct investment, but probably at this moment it's going to be difficult. Hence, this leads to a question of, must we bring GST right now in this budget or in time to come? So that's a good question.
What's the house view of Deloitte?
I think it's unlikely to be this coming budget, but eventually it has to come in.
What about hybrid tax, a combination of GST and SST, the way we see in countries like Canada?
Right. So that has been, in a way, implemented in Malaysia, but it is quite narrow in that scope, right? So it has been proven in more than 100 countries, VAT is the right way. So our view is that eventually it has to be implemented, maybe at the rate of 3-6% as a starting point, but you know, it has to be implemented in a very efficient manner. And the good thing, the beauty of this is that this is not going to be a new thing for business community. It's the GST 2.0.
But let me put it this way, Wubing. No economist or tax specialist would say that GST is a bad idea. No politician would want to do it because, as reiterated by my interview with the boss of LHDN previously, a few years ago, he says that no country has survived, the government of that country has survived upon implementation of GST. And true enough, Malaysia is one of those countries as well. So it's a political hot bomb. I have also noticed that all the external factors that you mentioned just now when mentioning that this is a difficult budget, you didn't mention election. So I want to mention it right now. That has to also be put into consideration. So where does political will come about when it comes to introducing good fiscal policy?
Definitely. So there's a balancing act is required. And I, because of our GE15, it has to be done before next July. Therefore, as a result, that I really don't expect the GST to be in now. But subsequent to that, I think this should be, you know, in the priority list for GST as a major source of revenue to the government.
Yeah. Okay. Narrow tax base has always been a problem. We're talking about not just the corporate tax being a little bit high compared to our neighbours. Yeah. We're also talking about income tax only a very small faction of us is paying income tax.
Right.
We're also talking about digital taxation items where only now we're seeing the introduction of it. Say, for instance, low cost goods below 500 ringgit, for instance, being introduced to provide equal level playing ground for Malaysian merchants. All this is slowly being implemented. But do you feel that more has to be done when it comes to getting more taxes from the market as opposed to what we're doing right now?
Correct. So, I appreciate that point. And I think, indeed, there are a few tax reforms that Malaysia should consider. One of it is actually e-invoicing, right? E-invoicing is a way to really tackle, various tax leakages and also evasion. So really it promotes greater transparency. So many countries, for example, China, Argentina, Bolivia and Brazil have implemented this in the recent years and it has proven that, you know, the collection of taxes will go up. So really e-invoicing is the one of the way to move forward. It brings out us from the grey economy to the formal economy. So I think e-voicing is one of the way to move forward.
Do you feel it's going to be done in this year's budget?
I believe some announcement will be done in respect of that, but in terms of implementation date, that yet to be seen, but hopefully it won't be too far from here, because that's really something that...
I don't know my next question is going to be a sidewinder question to you, but I'm just going to ask you anyway. Accrual accounting or cash accounting versus government policy, do you feel that needs to be executed as well or accelerated further?
That is something that should be also looked at as a factor, Ibrahim. Yeah.
Do you feel that budget?
No, I don't think it will be dealt with this budget because there are many priority lists. I don't think that will be in the top list at the moment, but it's an important one, I have to say that.
Okay. It's an important one, it should be a priority. Okay, anyway, I will go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss with Tan Hui Beng of Deloitte further on Budget 2023. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Tan Hui Beng, the tax leader or international tax leader for Deloitte Malaysia as well as Southeast Asia. Hui Beng, more that needs to be discussed. We've also talked about a little bit more about digital taxation as well as taking ourselves out of the grey economy. What other areas you feel is rather important for us to look at when it comes to Budget 2023?
I think one aspect that I couldn't help it is to talk about individual tax, right? Yeah. So obviously, whilst I'm not expecting individual tax rate to go down because of the current fiscal situation, but I do hope that the government will consider a few things. One of it is to ensure that most of the rest are able to own their own home, first home. So maybe the stamp duty exemption should be granted to the rakyat for the house, for the cost of the house between above 500,000. At the moment, it's kept at 500,000, it's a stamp duty exemption. So maybe up to 1 million and not necessarily for a new house. Right? It could be for a second-hand house, but as long as it's a first house to the rakyat, then the exemption should be given. Probably that's one way to look at that. Other than that, if you could recall a few years ago, interest arising from loan taken by us to acquire property, there was a special deduction, 10,000 per year for 3 years. Maybe that should be reintroduced in the current times. That would be helpful for individuals. Yeah. So something that I look forward to. Yeah.
Okay, what about inheritance tax, in your opinion?
It is something that has been considered, including capital gains tax. But again, I have to say that you brought G15 and no taxes to be introduced
difficult
prior.
To talk
yeah,
about
that
like
is
this.
Going to be very difficult. But I will say that it's an aspect to be looked at. But I don't foresee it coming in at the moment, inheritance tax. Yeah.
So as you can see, this conversation, we're only 10 minutes into this conversation. We're talking about the balancing act that you're talking about. You have a the government has a narrow tax base. Yeah. They need to collect more from the market.
Right.
They need to give more for people, especially on an individual level, from capital gains tax to inheritance tax to property tax.
Right.
We're looking at how we can even allow for young Malaysians to delay paying their first income tax period.
Yeah.
Right now it's 2,500, if I'm not mistaken.
There's
4, talks. I don't know whether you agree with this house view, where even up to 3,500 ringgit or 4,000 ringgit Malaysian, young Malaysians that have just started work, will be able to delay their income tax. Do you know about this, or have you heard of something about this?
That's not officially announced.
Okay, of course, it's not officially announced. But these are the ideas that we have to talk about when this balancing act happens.
Right.
What would be some of the pressures you think that the finance ministry and the government, and therefore the prime minister, has to contend with outside of this taxation realm of yours? Do you feel that the delicate balance hinges upon some key factors that the government has to think about, and what would be those items that you need to you can share with us?
I think at the moment you could see a subsidy that was mentioned by finance minister that remains as an important element of the ecosystem, right?
So this is the 100 billion ringgit subsidy
and a few more. Yeah, that's right.
80 billion, which people are extrapolating to be 100 billion by year.
Correct. So that amount is just going to grow, going to grow. The question is, how do we fund that? It goes back to one aspect, tax. And I will say this, right? All road will lead to Rome. And I would say that in this case, it leads back to the potential introduction of GST, reintroduction of GST. That must be the way forward. If you look at all these things, debt consumption tax is a fair one.
Yeah.
So therefore, I really remain hopeful post-election once things are settled down, you know, that must be looked at. Yeah.
Do you feel that the election, even though the timeline is has to be done by July or June next year, do you feel that the ability for the government to govern better further necessitates the need for the election to happen sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I'm for that. I would like it to be settled ASAP, hopefully before year end, so we start 2023 with a bang, you know, with full certainty, and then we move on from there to determine what is the fiscal policy that we want to have. Yeah.
Neither of us are political pundits. Neither of us are in political parties. Mm. Neither of us want to see the political element push forward, but where do you feel the problem lies when it comes to having an election earlier, the way we see it needs to be done?
I think in terms of having election earlier, what was that as possible? I think obviously from the political standpoint, various preparation needs to be done, right?
Yeah.
But that has nothing to do with tax altogether, you know,
yeah.
Right? But some people need some time. But all in all, I think it has to be done by year end.
Okay. When we talk about investors, both foreign direct investments as well as domestic direct investments, there seems to be some hesitancy in terms of addressing that right now because of rising political risk. Where do you see this?
This is a very good question. It really depends. Some investors, especially from the China, we can see the influx and we can see the increase of investment into Malaysia despite the
political risk.
Yeah, that's very happy for us to look at that, right? But of course, there are certain MNCs, maybe from Europe or from US, they take a wait and see approach, but I think they will eventually come back. But that's why it goes back to the question of settling down this early and then we get a full certainty and move on, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Investors from, say, the MENA region or OECD countries outside of China, for instance, they might not necessarily have the kind of pull to come to Malaysia, don't you think?
I mean, Malaysia remains as an important destination, but of course they would like to ensure political stability, yeah, and also a very concrete fiscal policy, right? So this probably can only happen post G15, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll conclude our conversation with Tan Hui Bang of Deloitte Malaysia. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Tan Hui Bang, the international tax leader at Deloitte Malaysia. I want to focus a little bit more. If the rakyat is watching us right now,
right.
And they have, you know, the budget is a long speech, you know. What would be some of the three or four things that you want to share to alert the rakyat to keep an eye out on top of the things that we've discussed?
Sure. I think for the rakyat, including myself, that's just to remind that, you know, the government, I believe, yeah, it's doing their best, of course, trying to, you know, ensure that we are in a better shape right now. But I would expect, I'm hoping and probably the government will do this, is to increase certain tax relief for individuals. For example, for disabled person, right? For disabled person, maybe to increase the relief from the current 6,000 to 9,000, given the...
It has happened before.
It has happened before, yeah?
Yeah.
In terms of support equipment for this.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think they can continue to review this because of inflation, the rising cost of equipment, right? To support their disabled. So the last one was in 6,000. That was in 2005, 17 years ago. So probably time to revisit that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? And then tax relief for parents. That was given in 2016-2005, and that has ended. So now I'm hoping that that will
reintroduction.
Be reintroduction without any time limit, Ibrahim. Love for parents, there's no boundary to that, right? Therefore, the 1,005 or 2,000 must be given without any time limit. Absolutely.
That's your wish list.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Mine as well.
Yeah. That would be great, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the things that, you know, the rakyat will be very happy for that. Even a small thing, yeah, if you look at in totality, that's going to be helpful. And then last but not least, on flexible working arrangement, actually, you know, during the pandemic, we have really tasted the success of working from home, you know, in terms of productivity, time saving, very efficient, and hopefully with that, you know, the tax law probably could be changed to enable us to take some special deduction on those expenses to set up a home office, for example. Or a special relief is to be given the individual in setting up the home office.
So what are you talking about? You're talking about, say, for instance, computer purchase. Right now, it's up every 2 years, right?
Yeah. That,
so something like every year. Is that right? Is that something you're looking at?
Yeah, and also all related expenses that has to do with
buying furniture, you name it.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And you know the Employment Act there's been some change on Employment Act with regards to flexible working arrangement. It's become kind of like mandatory.
Oh yeah, it was reduced, right? Yeah. From 45 to 40 hours.
Yeah, and then flexible working arrangement is an important element in the sense that employer can ask
I'm working 24/7.
Okay, so
when I tell my editor in chief, he's like, no, you're working only when you're working. I said, no, when you ask me to open my what flexible working hours talking about? Anyway, go on.
So that is something that the government should look at.
Our editor in chief to actually watch out for our working hours. But yes, go on.
Yes. So the flexible working arrangement, we should continue to promote that. Yeah, as long as the productivity, national productivity is okay, we should continue to promote that. We have tested the success. I'm sure it will remain as a feasible option. Yeah.
One area of conversation is in terms of electricity tariff for commercial versus residential.
Right. Right.
I met one person. And a friend of mine, he was talking from TNB. He was talking about how tariff that is being done on residential is actually doing commercial activities, and perhaps that needs to be discussed as well. He's talking on behalf of Tenaga, of course.
Right.
But what do you think about this comment that he made?
I think there are people who probably will tend to agree with him, but some would probably disagree. For me, I take the view that should be the way. I mean, I will agree with what your friend said.
Okay. Going to green and renewables, as items pertaining to ESG.
Right.
Do you feel that more a relief should be given for homes, say, for instance, installing EV panels, name it?
Indeed. From maybe I move from corporate perspective first, right? I mean, at the moment, there are certain tax incentives for companies that are purchasing a green technology asset or technology services, but the incentive is going to end next year. So we're hoping for extension of that.
Yes.
And for people like you and I, Ibrahim,
like EV.
Clearly that is one option. EV. And then also maybe if we...
Do you have an EV?
I don't.
Once the thing comes, you buy an EV.
I am hoping to. Yeah. And sometimes we purchase solar panels, we purchase system for harvesting system for the rainwater for own consumption. I think certain relief should be given to rakyat that has the green mindset, So hopefully that will help so that we can, ensure Malaysia is on the right track, to transition into a... low carbon nation or even zero carbon nation in time to come. Yeah.
Okay. In totality or in to recap, where do you feel the two or three most important things that we should really look at, not as an individual level, but as a country level, when it comes to the budget presentation that's going to be done on the 7th of October by the government?
I think for individuals, important to start individuals to look, watch out for what tax relief that it will probably be given for corporates. Just focus on potentially also tax incentive that could be given to the corporates. But one point that I want to just highlight, being an international tax, I couldn't help it to talk about global minimum tax. We talked about this a few months ago, right?
That is
something that I want to remind everyone.
15%.
15%. Absolutely. You're right. So I just want to remind that.
I don't know why I remember that, but yes.
The Malaysian government is supportive of this, and indeed rightfully so. The question is whether it's 1st January 2023 or 1st January 2024. I'm hoping that the government will announce something, give further guidance as to where we are on global minimum tax. And for corporates who are affected, right, my advice is prepare early, because whether it's 1st January 2023 or 2024, it does not matter. Time is not on our side, so prepare early, understand the impact, and more importantly, trying to, maybe there's a need to automate even your accounting system.
How?
Right?
You're talking about 24% income in corporate tax
to
15. What government want to do that, right?
But the government needs to do that, because the money is on the table. If you don't do that, other country will come and grab it. Yeah. So we have no choice to do that.
You're talking about Singapore?
And many other countries. 137 countries are planning to implement that, right? So, but my point here is for this budget, I'm hoping that the government will announce something, provide further guidance, and so that people can prepare early. Yeah.
You know what? Now that you mentioned it, I'm going to keep an eye out on this as well, because it's the first time we met and spoke. We were talking about this particular
item. Absolutely. A couple of months ago,
About a month ago. It must have been yesterday. Anyway, that was our conversation with Tan Hui Beng, the international tax leader at Deloitte Malaysia and Southeast Asia. Astro Awani will be providing live coverage of Budget 2023 during the day itself, as well as the continuous and ongoing conversation regarding Budget 2023. So do stay with us on this channel throughout the event. Of course, Again, we're covering plenty of conversations when it comes to pre-budget conversations. Yeah, so stay on with my show, Notepad, with me, Ibrahim Sani, every day at 10:30 p.m. as well. Till then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.